Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In. It's the Fight In.
Cock! A camel Tottenham!
Hello and welcome to episode 37, season 12 of the Fighting Cock podcast. Today we've got Cal and T on the pod. How you doing, boys?
Good, good.
Boys!
Yeah, man. Good, good.
Yeah, boy.
Are you saying this like you've gone through trauma and you just say yes? A lot of men do that. Like, how are you feeling? If they're not feeling right, a lot of men will go, yeah, I'm fine. I'm all right. So how are you actually, boys? Not, I don't give a fuck if you've got actual, like, proper problems. I don't want to hear about that. I just want to hear about...
crippling depression.
Yeah. Could you imagine if we started a podcast?
You don't care.
No, I do care, but this isn't the time. I'm really depressed, actually. Whoa. Talking about Sheffield United.
It's overload, man. Come on.
It's too much. And this is the thing that people forget, is that if people have got stuff going on in their life and Spurs make it worse, it's significant. It is, isn't it? It's not a joke. Like, people are really affected by their football team doing poorly. This is why it's madness that we've all got so emotionally invested in something like this.
It's true. Sometimes I kind of feel like I can step outside it and say, what the fuck am I doing here? Why do I care? This doesn't really matter. But then it fucking does, man. Every time we say, oh, this happens every time, but we go back and watch the same game again.
Yeah.
And, you know.
When you say, because I do that as well, it's just a game. It doesn't matter. But it fucking matters. It really, really hurts when things that you don't want to go well, things that you really want to go well don't. And often, I don't know if you boys have had this as well, like Cal, if you've ever had this, but from an outside perspective, when someone doesn't really get football and sees you lose a game like we lost yesterday to Sheffield United, they don't understand the anguish and pain it causes. Like, they don't understand. You do wake up. When Spurs lose, the first thing I wake up in the morning, it was like, oh, fuck, that happened. Do you have the same?
Yeah, like, last night, I was far so angry.
The energy in the WhatsApp group was foul.
Yeah, it was really bad. And we normally, there'll be like 2-3 messages and then we'll just all go on about our evening or whatever. Yeah. But it went on for a little while.
Carried on this morning, to be fair.
Yeah. Because like you said, we've seen this movie before, like literally every season in the FA Cup, we see this movie. And yeah, generally people that don't understand football or actually don't even support Spurs, I don't talk to them about football. I don't really talk to football outside of people that support Spurs, to be honest, because I just, yeah.
That's
yeah.
not bad. That's not a bad sort of position to be in. It's the ones where you like the people that are not really interested, but make you talk about it because that's the common ground that you share with them. They know you support Spurs, but they'll go, ah, bad result last night, weren't it? Not knowing that what you've just said to me has put a dagger straight through my fucking skull again. Like, I don't want, this isn't small talk. The football, Spurs losing isn't small talk for you. It's not small talk for me.
Yeah. It's like your missus getting drilled on BBC One, like on primetime BBC One, and then fucking Darren from HR comes the next morning and goes, fucking hell, mate, she took it like a champ last night, didn't she? Thank you, Darren. Yes, thank you.
We all saw it. We know. We don't have to talk about it. You're right. That's exactly what it's like. It's like your wife getting drilled on fucking national TV, and then Darren from HR wants to come and have a... I've just said your joke again, just word for word. Just stop. No, it's not fine, is it? Because I keep fucking doing this as well.
You know what? I've actually got a segue to talk to the Sheffield United game. So last night, Flav, myself and Alex did five statements. And I confessed on the pod, and I'm going to confess it now, that I fell asleep at the hour mark and woke up at the 90th minute just as the final whistle went.
Why?
But what I didn't share... I'd had a couple of drinks and whatnot, and But what I didn't share in the pod last night was that I made notes. So I had a brainwave at half time. I'm going to do some notes. I'm going to put the minute that it happened. So I'm going to share it right now. Look, I'm not lying.
So you made notes on the game to discuss this for our Patreon show just after the game, which is called Five Statements, which is an instant reaction to what we've just seen, right? And you've been making notes because you're a legend, T, and you prepare.
I tried to prepare. I thought, you know what? I'm not taking this game in. It's not happening. It's like it's kind of passing me by. So I thought, let me make notes to keep me engaged. So, 51st minute, Lucas Moura dead end. 52nd minute, Son skies, good Moura run. Don't worry, it's only a few more entries.
Sorry.
Minute 53, I forgot Richarlison was playing. 54th minute, Sheffield United corner, players let him turn over. I don't know what that means. 58th minute, the comms are sucking off Sheffield United. And my last entry on the 60th minute, Richarlison shot, almost a throw in. That's my insight.
And then you fell asleep.
Yeah. That's my last entry. That's where it goes.
Then you just had a little kip. And then the last, you should have woken up and done the last entry.
You know what the funny thing was, Flav? I thought it was 1-1. Right, I couldn't see that. My eyes aren't the best. And I thought, is it 1-1? So the whistle goes, and they're like, why wasn't extra time? Wasn't it a replay? Look, I was like, oh, fucking, we've lost 1-0. They go to the WhatsApp group, and as he got it, it was just absolute hell. And I was like, oh, I've got to record a podcast here.
No, you did fine. You did fine. I couldn't tell. And this is that just goes to show that, like, none of whatever we say is just fucking bollocks, because you cannot watch the game and still talk about it. Although, just for the record, anyone listening to this, or the thousands of people that are listening to this, tens of thousands actually, we do watch the games.
We do.
Yeah, just T in this instance had overindulged in certain things and he fell asleep, okay?
I've actually been at games with T, getting to like the 12th minute and he whips out the Peter Parker notebook and starts. I've been there when he's done it, and it is quite a sight. This is real.
Son is poor, see me. You remember that from school? My teacher should write that. Just see me. That's Son's report, mate. Recently.
Yeah. Oh, man, it's a lot of them as well. Before we get into it, I just want to let everybody know that we, and I know this isn't the time, and the last thing anyone wants to do is buy fucking merchandise with players' faces on their shirt, on the shirts that have let them down. But we're really proud of this collection of merchandise that we've put together. It's really, really good stuff. If you have the time and you have the disposable income to buy some really quality t-shirts that are sort of skater wear inspired, Stussy, if anyone's aware of Stussy the brand, we've kind of bitten a lot of their stuff, but it looks so cool that we thought we'd do it, and it'd be cool to sort of, you know, link it to Tottenham. So you can find that by going to thefightingcock.co.uk/shop, or if you go to our website, thefightingcock.co.uk, there's a link to the shop there, and there's a link in our bio on Twitter as well. Have a look, cop yourself some gear, support the Fighting Cock, and we move forward. Right, where to start? Cal, what is your where are we right now, actually, as a whole? Where are we? Because we've just missed this opportunity of winning, or at least being in the final of an FA Cup. We had a good run. The things were seemed like they were falling into place. It stunk to me of 1991, where we had like plum draw after plum draw, teams getting knocked out, teams getting playing against each other that we would potentially have to do well to knock out. And then we get beat by Sheffield United. But we are still in the Champions League and we are still fourth and 4 points clear with the most difficult ties that we could have in the Premier League behind us. There's a couple of dodgy ones, obviously, but how do you feel as a Spurs fan right now?
I kind of feeling like in two places. Do you know what? Actually, listening to the five statements this morning made me feel a lot better. And
why is that?
And I'm by it. I think what's not to advertise it or anything, but or to purposely advertise it. But the good thing about it is it's instant and it's like everyone was fucked off. I'm fucked off. So yes, I could get along with that. But then it was actually T that was quite like, well, do you know what? This doesn't define our season. And he was right. And so I feel I am fucked off. But also because, as I said, we've seen this movie every season in the cups. We just throw them and go out. But no, I don't think this defines our season because I'm still pretty confident we get in the top four because let's have it right. We're not going to win the Champions League. And I think once we get to a place...
Might win. Might be. Why not? No.
Because
because we're a fucking bin fire.
Well, yeah, because Conte's a one game a week coach, isn't he?
He's not even there. I don't know where Conte is. He's in Italy and he's just been fucking nominated for the manager of the month. And I get it, we've been all right in the league. We've been okay in the league. But it should be fucking Stellini. Sorry, go on.
Imagine he took the award and like was like actually took the award. So
John Terry
at
Champions League final.
Yeah, like that. Put the full kit on and accepted the award. Imagine that Conte in the full kit, his gut spilling out the bottom and his wig slightly slipping to the side. I'd like to see that picture. That'd be quite funny, actually. But no, yeah, I don't think it defines our season. And I do still think we'll get in the top four because, you know, Newcastle are just starting to slip now and Liverpool are on a little bit of a run, but you just get the feeling they're not far away from losing another game again. They've had such a poor season. I don't see them suddenly going, okay, we're great now and we're going to start playing great again. I don't see that at all. I do still fancy us to get into the top four. But I suppose what good is the top four if you don't really have ambition of winning the thing, of winning the Champions League? And so I'm in that place. I'm in the middle. I'm like, okay, I think the season could still be okay. But at the same time, I want the chairman out and I want the manager out.
You can't just fucking... I think everything's okay, but I want everybody out as well.
Yeah, I do. I do want them all out. But at the same time, well, in terms of the season, if you put the season, you know, in a vacuum, yeah, it might be all right. But overall, I want both of them gone.
Well, so just to dig down into that a little bit more, why? Why do you want them out? What is it about Daniel Levy that you want him gone, and what is it about Conte that you want him gone? What do you think might happen if both of those were removed? That's a massive question, actually.
Yeah,
why have you arrived at that position?
I want to win a trophy. I want to see Tottenham win a trophy. And you know what? I was thinking earlier about Spurs and winning a trophy, and you know, I think Twitter has a lot of the reason why we put so much stock in winning trophies, because we want to see these players, these club legends like Lloris and Son and Kane. No, Son's not had a great season, but he is a club legend. We want to see these three players in particular win a trophy for Tottenham. That would be wicked, particularly for Kane, because he's been so good for us. And I just kind of feel, like last night, I kind of feel like as long as Daniel Levy's there, we're not going to win a trophy. And I think until we're bought, I can't see us winning anything unless we're bought by like a fucking country, like a Qatar or something that will just pump so much money in that it will offset the 15 years of like PTSD of not winning things. Because I feel like this club and these players, you know, Dier, Kane, Lloris, I don't think Kane's immune from this, of this being scared to win thing. This thing where there's a little bit of fear that stops them winning and really going for it and really trying to win something at Spurs. And I think sometimes some of our players, maybe not Kane, but I think some of our players are comfortable at Tottenham and comfortable being the plucky loser. And I think the only way we're going to have this mass overhaul is if we're bought by a country. With Conte, Conte was great at the back end of last season. He's great under a one game a week place. If we play one game a week and he gets the week with the coach, we play great. We tend to win. As soon as you throw in midweek games, he can't. He's not a midweek. He's a one game a week coach. And I think generally, in terms of how much we've spent and the quality of the players we've got, I think overall it's not been good enough.
Yeah. What do you think, T?
It's not terminal, losing last night against Sheffield United. Not terminal by any stretch. I mean, we've got a few agreeable fixtures in the Premier League coming up. Of the three games, I think the top brass at the club would have wanted to lose yesterday, then lose against Wolves or Milan next week. I mean, it's fucking dreadful that we lost in the fashion that we did, but
yep.
There's a lot of football to be played. I said a couple of weeks ago in the pod, I'm resigned to Conte going. He won't get sacked this season, in my opinion. And what's the point of wasting money? What's the point of wasting the money sacking him when you can just wait till the summer and just have an amicable departure? But I think Levy has to do, we've got to do one of two things. Either have a whole state fund us, or rip up the book from scratch and install a director of football team that buys players, you know, like Mitoma, for example, for Brighton. That's just one example, right? There's gems out there. We can, within our budget, we can buy perfectly good players. I mean, Kim Min-jae, the South Korean centre-back.
At Napoli.
Yeah, he's smashing it right now. We were in for him. We were linked with him before he moved to Napoli, and now he could win the league. So I think we need to really think about scout. If we're not going to go down the financially doped route, we've got to find a way of getting the talent in, because at one point we were getting young English talent under the days of Yol and I guess Redknapp, and we were getting young English talent, and that worked out for us. But now there doesn't seem to be any real direction in the players that we're buying. There's no sort of common link between them. We're just sort of speculating to accumulate. And in fairness, the last few winners haven't been terrible. I mean, Emerson Royal has emerged as a good right back. I mean, it's not Poro, but he's a good right back. And he got Romero, who, since last night, I've had time to kind of ruminate on it a bit. And I think him and Kane, you just can't rest them. Those are two players you just can't afford to rest, and they shouldn't have done. But there's little green shoots in the transfer windows that we are moving in the right direction. But we're not going to be able to get these 70, 80 million pound players. We bought Richarlison for 60, and I think give him a bit of time. But if that doesn't work, that's going to hurt us. That's going to hurt us for a long time.
We ain't got a choice. We've got to give him time.
No, but that's my point. I'm saying if he doesn't work, then we're going to feel it for a long time. Manchester United bought Harry Maguire for 80 million. It's not worked out. They buy Alessandro and Rafa Varane, who's on 400 grand a week.
Yeah.
We can't do that. When people like Ndombele and Richarlison don't work out, we're stymied for ages.
Yeah, but we could do a little bit. We could be closer to that. We can't offer Ronaldo and get Ronaldo and give him 400 grand a week. We can't do that for Varane either. Understand that. Man United have gravitas that Spurs don't have. But we can't. The barometer could be moved closer to Man United if we were a little bit more aggressive in the transfer market, and that's my major issue with the situation we find ourselves in. Like, United are a different beast to Tottenham Hotspur, and we got to accept that. But we're not as different as how we operate in the market would perceive us to be. We had a great chance of winning the FA Cup, and it, as you alluded to earlier, Cal, is that if the choice was winning against Milan and winning against Wolves, or winning against Sheffield United and going into quarterfinals of the FA Cup, the brass and probably Conte as well would have chosen, well, obviously because of the team selection, would have chosen to lose to Sheffield United. As fans, that's not how we think. Like, and I want to ask the question. It's age old, and we get asked every single year, what would you rather have, top four place or an FA Cup win? Is there any Spurs fan out there right now that goes, finish top four again? Do you think? What do you think? Would you rather win the FA Cup? Would you rather have prioritised the FA Cup or at risk of falling out of the top four? What would you have done, Cal?
I'd rather win the FA Cup.
Of course.
I'd rather.
Because of course we can finish in the top fucking four again in the future. Of course we can. Sorry, answer your question, sorry.
It's the money, and it boils down to the money, because we're not financially doped, and because we're not a bigger club as Liverpool, Manchester United. You know, Manchester United in Europa League this year, but they still went and pumped 100 million on Antony and other players that I'm forgetting right now, and Martinez. Right, like
Martinez,
they've gone and,
Casemiro. Yeah,
Sancho.
Yeah, they've gone and pumped 250 million on three players. They bought Sancho, gave him 360 grand a week, and watched him look like dog shit for 18 months.
Now coming good.
And now he's coming good, because they can afford to do that, because, like T said, it's not terminal whereas it is with us. But yes, of course I'd pick the FA Cup, because I want to, as I've already said, I want to win a trophy for us as fans, but I also want to see Harry Kane lift a trophy, because he deserves, because what he's given to us, I'd love for him to have that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Spurs are out here completing side quests, you know what I mean? Getting fucking electric go-kart in. But obviously, it's nice as a business, but, you know, we want to win something. I understand why the club want to finish in the top four, because Champions League is a prestigious place to be. But I've said this countless times in the last 6-7 years, is amazing players for Tottenham. I mean, you know, in the best burst sides of the last 30 years, and the majority of them would have played for us in the last 10 years, right? And they're trophyless, and it's a fucking disgrace.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, it is a disgrace. And we don't prioritise trophies. We don't prioritise glory. And it would be fine if we picked up a couple along the way. If we picked up an FA Cup every 3 or 4 years, I mean, that would be a dream. I don't even know what I'm talking about. But if we picked up, if we were at least competing in these competitions and then occasionally picking one up, then it would be fine. But we're not, and we haven't. And so we find ourselves in a situation where we're just confronted with our existential crisis of just existing to create profit. And that's the problem. I think that's where a lot of the frustration comes from. The starters in our... Sorry,
Fluff, do you really believe if Spurs went all out, we'd win a trophy? Like, if we went all out for the League Cup, for example, put all our top boys in every game... Because I don't think it's that straightforward. To discount what you're saying, but there is a feeling that Spurs as an organisation aren't prioritising domestic cups. But the likes of Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, Man U, to a lesser degree, Man City, can sleepwalk through the earlier rounds because they've got, like, cunts on the bench who earn 150 grand a week who don't play every game, and they just come in and just dish up wallops. That's... You know, we're bringing that Lucas Moura off the bench, and...
To support your point, that team was good enough to beat Sheffield United. I know you didn't rate. I don't think you didn't rate Lucas Moura last night. You just think, like, what's the point of him being there? And I get that, I get it. But we were good enough to beat them last night. And even if we're not prioritising the FA Cup, the team we put out was worth hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds, and the players that come off the bench were worth, you know, in themselves maybe 150 million pounds, and we conceded after they came onto the pitch. So it's not like the ambition isn't there, but it just always seems to happen with Spurs that the minute we rest players, we don't play our first 11, it all just goes to shit. And it's not just about us conceding; it was a poor performance overall. But what do you account that for? Why do you think we did play as poorly as we did?
I think there was a little bit of arrogance there. I think perhaps we thought we'd walk the tie. And I think because it's not just a Conte thing. It's actually been going on probably Poch to back then, where they've had 14, 15 players that they rate and that get in the team, and then the rest of them kind of don't. And what I've always kind of dreamed of at Spurs, this utopia, is us being a club like Man United were when Ferguson was there, where he would rotate three players every game, like Guardiola can do now. I don't watch City every week, but I imagine he does. I imagine he rotates two, three players every single game. Someone's always coming in, someone's always going out, and people are involved and people feel involved. We're not that club. We have our 11. We've got maybe 12, 13, 14 that can get in, but the rest of them are has-beens, your Sanchez and all of Lucas Moura and all of those. They don't get a look in. And so when they do get a look in, they don't give a fuck. Like, Sanchez couldn't give a shit. He wants out so badly. Like, he just wants to go because he knows he's not going to get anywhere near the team.
He knows he's not rated at the club.
He knows he's not rated. Well, why should he try?
Just on that, there's this thing that's been going around everywhere, basically. But for Spurs, as starters in defence, the last six times we've been knocked out of the FA Cup. In the 2017 season, Dyer, Davies, Sanchez. 2018, Dyer, Sanchez. 2019, Dyer, Sanchez. 2020, Dyer, Davies and Sanchez. 21, Dyer and Davies. 22, Dyer, Davies and Sanchez. It's not...
That's damning.
It is damning. It's damning. And that isn't to say that these players, we're not throwing them under the bus. It's just that, and going out in the FA Cup isn't a direct correlation to where you're moving as a football club, but it is a direct correlation if you're playing those same players and we keep getting knocked out. Dyer, Davies and Sanchez in 2017, 2018 was the exact same defence we played last night.
There were rumours there's going to be Tanganga in that. I mean, fucking hell, imagine that. Jesus.
Did you see at moments like T last night when Tanganga, with Sanchez had the ball and it was just like he lost it and he got under his feet and stuff. And I know in those moments, things can happen to a professional footballer. It doesn't mean you're a bad footballer if that happens at this level. But we knew as soon as he came in, and we knew when Tanganga plays that there will be issues. And when they're just thrown in your face as you're watching it, it's frustrating. It's really frustrating.
When I was saying about, you know, we should upgrade Dyer and Davies, I don't want them sold, but I don't think these are both players who are capable of playing 40, 50 games a season for a side of aspirations of top four winning trophies. And they're not bad footballers. I don't think they're at all. But with Tanganga and Sanchez, I feel for the sake of their careers, for the sake of their progress as professional footballers, they've got to move on to a slightly lower level club and carve out a career. I mean, who knows? Celtic fans fucking love Carter Vickers, right? They think he's amazing. And why can't this happen to Tanganga at another club? I mean, he's a perfectly good footballer, but it's just not what we want.
If he went up to Celtic, he would do wonders because they're playing the bin fire of a league. We're operating at the very top of European football, world football. And if you can't cut it, then you need to be cut. And it's not his fault. But I will find him. And I will run him over.
That's not fair.
Running a man over because he's not good at football, that's not fair at all. That's the worst thing someone could say. I don't know why I've said it. Apologies to our sponsors, NordVPN.
NordVPN, yeah.
But if you had if we had NordVPN installed, Tanganga would never get through the net. If you want to grab a NordVPN subscription, you can by going to nordvpn.com/fightingcock. It'll sort your shit out if you're looking at dirty stuff on the internet.
You know what I saw on TikTok, Flav? You know Mexican, is it? I'm gonna fucking butcher this pronunciation, but like Nacho Libre, is that it, Cal?
Yeah, that's correct.
So they've got like women wrestlers, right? Mm-hmm. Oh my god, they are right in my wheelhouse, man. big booty bitches, just like face sitting and shit.
What are you saying?
So if you get a NordVPN, just saying.
We haven't even scheduled a NordVPN read for this episode.
Well, it kind of came at the right time.
It's happening now. Look, we are sponsored by NordVPN. This is a fully fledged read for NordVPN. We're happening right now. Tell us about the Mexican wrestlers, the women wrestlers that you love so much. And what does that have to do with NordVPN?
The thing is, and the car's got to kind of help me out here. Is it Rikishi who sits in the face?
Correct, yeah.
Yeah, so this woman did that, but the woman's face is in like the middle of the turnbuckle. She runs to the other end and just like fucking face sits the other girl, and her ass was massive. And then she sits the woman out on a corner, legs akimbo, so legs on, oh God, no one's got a camera here, but legs there and legs there. So she's like, legs akimbo, the woman just like, just cunt punts her. full on cunt punt. it's mental.
What's this got to do with NordVPN?
I'm saying it's Mexican wrestling. I mean, I think it's on Telemundo, one of those channels.
So he uses NordVPN so he can watch it.
Yeah.
If you want to watch that in it from Mexican wrestling when women get punched in their punanis, then sign up, or just protect your computer. we've got a really good. This is a really good. Fuck, I've lost it here. Nope, I have lost it. Fuck. From anonymous troll, and he says, "Why is everyone spitting fire at our defense? We had six attackers playing and starters and subs. We had two most attacking wing backs in Porro and Perisic. We had four." SOT, what does that mean? Shots on target at 0.82 XG to Sheffield's B side, which we haven't even talked about yet. And our defence held them to one shot on target. Their XG was 0.53. And our attackers did nothing to impact that game. Our defenders, who we all, and we have already on this podcast, attacking these defenders, they're not good enough. Sanchez not good enough, Dyer's not good enough, but they've done their job. They restricted them to less than one goal. If you have any faith in XG at all, half a goal we restricted them to, and they managed to score it. And whatever it is that means that they managed to get that goal is irrelevant. If you look at the statistics, if you believe in this stuff, then we didn't do badly as a defensive outlet. And it's more, you could probably sort of, look at Richarlison and look at maybe Kane when he came on, but Moura, that we didn't do enough up top. We didn't break them down. And that was part of the problem as well. So defence was perhaps, according to anonymous troll, and he might be trolling, that wasn't the issue. Do you know what I mean? We didn't do enough up top, did we?
I think it's a play style thing. You've got... Lucas Moura and Heung-Min Son were very much heads down, run sort of players. I don't know if Son's ever got more than 10 assists in a season. Let me know. Probably wrong. But Son's not known for someone who gets a lot of assists because he's kind of just head down, run, twat it, or, smash it into an area, a danger area, and someone puts it in. You've got people like Kulusevski, maybe to a lesser degree, Brian Hill, who can see a run. And these guys weren't supporting the Charlatan last night, so that might have hindered him a bit. So it's a play style thing, not that these players are inherently bad, it's a play style thing. But Stellini and the whole team probably have forgotten more about coaching than I'll ever know. But it feels like you have to kind of combine the right players, not just that our attackers are bad. I just feel that someone like Lucas Moura is very much heads down, he doesn't always see the run. And I think it got to a point where the Charlatan didn't even bother to run into space. He thought, well, he's going to run and just twat it and see what happens anyway. So it's nuanced.
We put out a... We asked for questions for the podcast. And we put out a poll to see what the general mood is amongst Spurs fans. Because a lot of the questions that came back from our request for questions was, why aren't you fucking Levy out? Why aren't you fucking... and for the record, I am fucking Levy out. I want him out now. I understand that we where we are right now is really a really good a club that's primed for success, and we could compete and damage teams and really be a force in Europe. But and that's down to that what Daniel Levy has done already. But I'm at the point now, I'm sure a lot of you guys are, is that we need something else in order to succeed. So. We put this question out, whether or not you know, what do you want? Are you Levy in or Levy out? And the poll says Levy in 32%, Levy out 67%, practically 7%, 70%. What do you make of that, Kel?
Well, it's after a really bad result, isn't it? So
I think you got to factor that in.
But I don't know. It's difficult to say because there's that factor which I've already said that it's after a really bad result and a result that we're all kind of fucked off about because, like you said, Flav, it was an opportunity for us to win the FA Cup. I'm also conscious of Twitter is not representative of the match-going fan base. 62,000 people go to every game. Take away the away fans. Let's call it 58,000. When the Levy out protests were happening, there was probably 50 people, 100 people with some signs and singing songs, and it's not got going with the match-going fan base. It just hasn't, and those are the not the match-going fan bases are more important than everybody else. But if you want to make change and you're going to want Levy to want to go or for Enoch to want to leave, you can't fill up the fucking stadium every week. And I'm a member. I don't have a season ticket. And after...
Are you saying it's not your fault?
No, I'm making a point about tickets and how they sell out. Sorry. After the Arsenal game, I thought, Brighton and Bournemouth tickets came out. I thought, well, let's have a look. I wasn't going to buy one, but I was just interested in how much this Levy out thing is taking effect. Are people getting fed up and not going? Brighton and Bournemouth were sold out instantly. Every game is fucking sold out.
Fans want to go. They want to go.
Yeah, exactly. Of course. I want to go. I managed to get a ticket for pretty much most games. People, it's not translating. It's not translating from the people on Twitter that use the hashtag and turn up at the protest with the other 50 people. It's not translating to the people that go to games. And that matters. And that's why it's not getting going.
In 2023, a lot of us are comfortable. You don't have to earn shitloads of money to have a decent flat screen TV, Netflix, etc. We're comfortable in this day and age. And people, myself included, are not willing to make themselves uncomfortable or put themselves out to stand up for what they really believe in and sacrifice things that matter the most. So whether that be trying to overthrow the government, which I'm not saying, you know what I'm saying, or overthrowing fucking Tottenham. A lot of these people aren't willing to go down to the ground and hand out leaflets and say, this is our manifesto, this is what we want. We want Levy out. But Levy out, and then what? There's got to be an after. You know, you can't just overthrow something and be like, well, what happens next? Well, I don't know. Just a nation state. Like, well, it's a lot more, it's not as fucking straightforward as it. You've got to have someone who's, I think there's a guy on Twitter called Change for Tottenham. I think he's Levy out. But I see him making a few really decent points, and I think that's what the Levy out movement needs. But I was going to refer to a tweet today by Spooky, our very own Spooky, and it really, really made me laugh. And that
it was funny.
There's a quote tweet, and a bloke says, Levy fans, you are partly to blame for this. You have Levy no fans. Right to be angry about what just happened. You facilitate this shit. You pander to this shit. You allow it to happen. So Spooky saw this, quote tweeted it, and said, I blame you lot for not doing enough to get rid of Levy. You lot are a disgrace. All noise, no action, pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, there is that, isn't there? Is that, look...
pathetic.
Again, for the record, I really do think that Daniel Levy should leave the football club and we need new owners in order to achieve what we hope we can achieve. But... for digging out people that are potentially Levy in for doing nothing, why aren't you doing anything? Like, why are you happy with this current regime and you're doing nothing at all other than tweeting? You're a bigger idiot. And a lot of people have thrown a lot of shade over the Enoch out sort of protest, the fact there's only 50 people turn up, which tells you something about the indifference of most Spurs fans. But they're doing something. Like, whether they make themselves like idiots is irrelevant. They're doing something. And I think what's happened, and we get caught up in it as well, is that Twitter, we see Twitter and the views and opinions on Twitter as verbatim across all of the Spurs support, and it just isn't. It really isn't. Spurs fans mostly have really, you know, just normal lives, and they've got problems in their lives, and they don't want Tottenham to be a part of that. And you're asking people to mobilise around something that they may or may not agree with. And if you're on Twitter, if you don't agree with what I'm saying, you're a fucking dickhead, you're a wicked, you're a pussy, whatever it might be. Reality is no one really, really, truly at Tottenham, our fan base, genuinely gives a shit. They just want to go and watch their football team play. Just on that, before we've got a bit coming, but there's a guy called James Drummond, and he goes away with Spurs, and he writes some stuff of us, like an away day account of what happens when Spurs play away. And he's just got back from Sheffield, and he's written this, and I've narrated it for him.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I arrive in Sheffield to find Bramall Lane nestled amongst Victoria Terrace streets, floodlit, surrounded by beef and onion tinged bellowing smoke. The steel city is alive and well. My jacket zipped up to hide my scarf and walk alone, gliding at a pace between waves of optimistic looking home fans to make it in time for kickoff. As I slip into the away fan police cordon, I unzip and start giving it some. The FA Cup seems like it's opened up for us, and I'm daring to believe we're only three potential easy games away from a final. And despite all the turgid football, Conte could just do it. They say it's the hope that kills you, and as soon as I stepped into the stands after necking a pint at speed and saw the drizzle blowing down around in the night air, the zippy surface and Spurs in that daft purple kit, I said to my mate next to me, this is 1-0 Sheffield United written all over it. From the very start, they wanted it more. They were the first to every loose ball and had more energy, more belief. Winning the FA Cup could be massive for Spurs, not just for the fans but the players too, and I simply don't understand why they can't get up for these games. Just over a year ago, I went to Middlesbrough to watch us get knocked out in exactly the same fashion. How have we not grown in this time? It's a shame we didn't start Kane. He's not really the player to rely on as an impact sub off the bench. But we should be able to rest him occasionally, and surely Richarlison should be good enough. He was terrible. He made no impact on the game. And what infuriated the fans the most was his attitude, sulking off the pitch, slumping off when he got hooked. Yes, Sheffield United are a decent team, and yes, there were a couple of glimmers of positivity, Porro and Lucas perhaps. But let's be honest, this was pathetic. No creativity, urgency or desire. 5,000 Spurs fans made the trip and were in good voice. There's a lot of people making big effort and spending a fair amount of money. I said it after the Milan and I say it again, we deserve more. We don't expect to win every game, but we need to see the players caring. The mood at the full-time whistle was horrendous. I know we're still fourth and in the Champions League, but it really felt like this was the moment that the season slipped away from us. Surely Kane leaves after this, and as it stands, it looks like we've somehow made another manager who always wins leave Spurs with nothing. There's some desperate chance of Levy out, but I'm really unsure as to how this performance is his fault. I slipped out, bang on full-time whistle, to find a bunch of away boys with Burberry scarves around their faces bouncing around outside looking for trouble. I managed to make it back to the car unscathed and relieved to find it unticketed despite the double yellow line I'd parked it on. Then I banged it down the M1 back to London. I've been here before and I'll be here again. I hate it, but I love it at the same time. James Drummond. So you have it, boys. That was quality. James is a great writer and is out there with Spurs. God, I mean, you know what the thing that I got from that recording the most and what he wrote the most was that when you're at a final whistle, when you've lost and you just realise, fuck, I'm in Sheffield and I don't live in Sheffield. And if I had a choice, I'd never come to Sheffield. And I've got to drive all the way back to London to just continue my normal life. That fit, if you had that as well, like T, when you got fingered in Florence, did you?
I had to sit on a bus for hours after that. Fuck me.
But do you know what I mean? That sort of existential despair when Spurs have, you know, for whatever reason, have fucked you over again. Soldado's gone through on goal. A lot of people who listen to this will know. So that we needed to score against Fiorentina. Soldado went through on goal. And because Tottenham had destroyed his confidence so much, he passed it instead of shooting at goal. A weak pass. It was his fault. But you know, you're in this situation, T, where you've spent a lot of money to spend time with your mates and to watch Spurs play, and they fuck you over again. That feeling of being so far away from home. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Absolutely. Ironically, Saturday is my first away day since the Newcastle 5-1. First out of London.
And you're going to Wolverhampton. 5-1.
Yeah. So either I'm good luck, or I should never go to watch Tottenham away out of London again. But no, it's a fucking terrible feeling. I mean, you go to away games, you're the minority, you know, you're singing, you back your team. But then when you see the home fans just three corners, just like faces all on you, spit coming out of their mouths, just, you know, middle fingers and all of that. You've got to stand there and take it. I think the worst example of that was the Battle of the Bridge when Hazard gets the equaliser. And I'm seeing people come out of their seats to the end of their rows, just like arms aloft at our fans. And those faces, that image will stay with me for a long time. It fucking hurts losing away like that, especially badly, you know.
We've got a question here from Return of the Shelf, who are starting a movement to get like-minded fans together and sing together in the Park Lane. If you want to follow him and get involved in that movement, which I'd encourage you to do, you can find him on Twitter as @ROTS1882. ROTS1882. He says, how can we as fans get the message to the board and the manager that that silverware is more important than anything else? That they don't care about us.
Don't go.
This is the thing. That's it.
You can't be, and I'm not digging anyone out because I want Levy out and I still pay my money and I still go and watch the games because one of my favourite things in the world is after a win, walking down a high road with the boys and being generally offensive. It's one of my favourite things in the world and that's why I do it. But you can't be Levy out and line his pockets every week. You can't do both. You can't. You serve God or serve the devil. You can't do both.
It doesn't impact.
Pick a side.
But the problem is, though, you pick a side, but the problem is that if they leave, someone else will take their seat. And they'll just disappear into nothingness. Mm-hmm. So the answer to what you're saying, at the moment, it appears nothing. Fulham away, when the away sport was fucking incredible, it was electric, and the away sport is generally, it's certainly in the Premier League, fucking brilliant. It's just continually singing the Enid out stuff, and probably more importantly, singing it when you're winning, because when we were beating, they were home games, so you're never going to hear that probably.
Yeah,
but it's just being vocal in those moments, and when we're winning, being vocal in those moments.
You can't give up, man. I mean, this is a bit morose and morbid, but there's a bloke who killed a woman in 1975.
Wow.
And he got away with it until this year because the girl's family persevered and got him. And the man's probably in his 60s or 70s now, but he's serving life in prison. So the point I'm saying is that with the Levy out or any displeasure towards the chairman, just don't give up. Those 50 people are turning up. At least they're doing something. And if by listening to what all three of us just said, it's 51 this weekend or whatever, then you just have to believe in it and push forward. But the way football is now, it's all about the bottom line. And the bottom line is money. And Spurs are completing side quests and they'll complete plenty more before we win a trophy. And it's just got to swallow it. You got to take the best things out of supporting Tottenham, the best you can, whether it be you know, meeting their friends or family. You know, a lot of people, it's the only relationship they have with their parents going to Tottenham, you know, going to go as a family. So you've got to try and take that from it more than anything else.
Do you know what's mental is that... Go on.
I was just going to say, you're right, Flav, what you said. If you don't want to give up your seat and you want to go sing the Levy Out songs, even if they're winning, I think that's actually a really, really valid point. And until you make a valid point as well, keep at it. You're right. Keep at it. I'd also say join the trust. I'd say be nice to the trust, but join the trust and have a voice, because we see right now what's going on in the world with unions and the strikes and all the stuff that goes on. The trust are our union. They are a union, and they've got a voice. They've got a voice that can speak to the club and ask them outright, what's your attitude to domestic cups? They're the people that can say it, but that's the only thing I would say as well, is join the trust.
If 100 Levy Out people join the trust, then, you know, that might be enough to either get them a seat at the table or get their opinions across.
But this is the problem, is that most of them, they don't actually do anything. They just scream on Twitter. And, you know, if you look at Twitter, like we put a tweet out, a poll, do you want him in or want him out? And like I said it earlier, 71% now, Levy Out. 71% of our fan base. We've got 70,000 Twitter followers on Twitter. If 70% of those is, I don't know what the maths is, but it's a lot. You know, it's talking about 55,000, whatever it might be. But when people organise, you know, Enoch Out marches, no fucker turns up. So what it is just loads of blokes or people on Twitter going, I want fucking Levy Out. And then they send that tweet and they go about and eat their fucking shepherd's pie. They're not doing anything. You're not doing anything at all. You're just on Twitter and you think I'm doing something to change. And if people don't agree with me, I've been on Twitter and I've been saying Levy Out, Enoch Out. I agree with you. Enoch should step back. But you're not doing fucking nothing. And you think you are. That's the thing.
On top of all that, right? You're saying, are the people who support Levy that are facilitating this? People who support Levy could go on your side if you're a little bit more forthright about the points you're making. I mean, it's like religion and atheists. A lot of atheists believed in God once upon a time. They saw an opinion and thought, you know what, this person's onto something, and dug deeper and left religion. And it's the same thing with people who are Levyan. Flav was Levyan. Obviously. Long time. Results and real life events have made him change his mind, not anyone saying Levy Out. But if there's voices in Levy Out, I could say, you know what, you could every day, I don't know, on this day this year, Levy did this, or I don't know, it's been 3,000 days since Levy did this, that, or the other. I'm giving people social media ideas here. Do something that's like neutral and fact driven. And you get, we're not going to get back saying, oh, you all can't say Levy in.
Exactly.
You all can't get.
Yeah.
That's not going to make me think, well, hang on. Yeah, I'm a cunt, but I'm not a cunt in his eyes. You know what I mean?
Take a step back and like engage your argument. Just calling everyone cunts or twats or weirdos or setting up fucking faux Twitter accounts to expose people isn't the way. Just fucking engage in some sort of conversation.
That's what I was saying about the trust. Join the trust. They've got a voice, but if you engage with the trust, or even if you don't join, but you interact with them on social media, don't be a prick. Like, because they get a lot of shit, don't they? And you know, and Kat and Martin were there for ages, and they've gone now, probably because they've got so much fucking shit over the years. Just go there, and engage with them, and give them your points, but in a fucking respectful way. Instead of going, like the tweet that you read, T, that was, well, Spooky's replies were funny. The guy said Levy fans. Like, we're wearing, like, people have got Spurs shirts with Levy 1 on the back. Like, we don't have Levy fans. Like, it's just weird. Just don't be a prick and just engage like a normal person, like you would in the real world.
Yeah, indeed. I think we'll call it there, boys.
Okay.
Cool. Unless there's anything else you want to... we should talk about the fact that Sheffield United played their third string team and still beat us. We'll leave it there. And you know, we'll go again. And T, yeah, this morning, especially T in WhatsApp, and you were going, it's just one game. And when it ended, last night I was thinking, I've seen this before. I've been here before. I've been here at the beginning of this ascendancy to what the club has become when Grimsby, who, you know, knocked out Southampton last night, they beat us under the tutelage of Martin Yole. So it's never, this isn't like uncommon, the fact that we get beat by teams that we shouldn't get beat by in competitions that we should definitely be challenging for. But, you know, we'll roll again. It'll happen again. And we'll have so many great, 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 great nights as Spurs fans. We beat the Wolves at the weekend. We are top. And this is us moaning about our football club. If we beat Wolves, well, currently, as it stands, we are top of the form league. If we beat Wolves, we are clearly top of the form league in the Premier League. As it stands, we are the best team in the Premier League and in a good position to go through to the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Imagine giving that to... If I was like talking to my younger self when I was, I don't know, 20, and you said, I said to myself, Tottenham Hotspur are, you know, they're in the last 16 of the Champions League. We're also 4 points clear of our nearest contender for Champions League football next year. Would you take that? I'll be like, what are you talking about? I've been dreaming of a fair play league placing for the fair play cup or fucking Europa League, wherever it might be. Where it is difficult to rationalise this, but we are in a good place, I think. Boys, do you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love being in the Champions League. I love it. I love being in the stadium when the music comes on. I love being in that draw. I love it. I love being in the Champions League, and I'm really looking forward to Milan. You know, Milan at home. It's a sexy club. It's one of the traditional massive clubs. I remember growing up in the 90s and watching Gazzetta on Channel 4. Milan were the team in the 90s. They were it, and we're going to play them at Spurs next season. Back when we were kids, couldn't think of us playing Milan. And not only playing Milan, being on a level playing field with them, and I fancy us. I fancy us next week.
Me too.
Yeah.
All right, cheers, boys.
Cheers.
Network. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.